Lord, we do thank you for your mercy. Even the mercies that are new this day, this morning. Lord, that you have lavished upon us your grace once again, that you refresh us. Hallelujah, because you are the fountain of living waters. I know many of you have been walking with the Lord a long time, but we need to be reminded, I need to be reminded of the truth of what God has said. Last week, I believe it was, we talked about focus, maintaining your focus, keep your focus, because there are a lot of things that are vying for our attention to try to distract us, to get us derailed, or out of the will of God, even good things. But God wants us to come to him because he knows that without him, there's no life. The Lord is our life. And as born-again believers who have been united together with Christ in his death, his burial and his resurrection, our life is in him. And we need his life in order to live. There is biological life, there is soul life, but then there is spiritual life. That's why people are walking around, they're animated, but if they don't have Christ, they don't have the eternal life. They have soul life. And so what God wants to do is to bring new life to people that are walking around who are dead in trespasses and sins. Just like he's been gracious to us, he wants us to be his ambassadors, extending and, you know, the love of God to others, reaching out around us. There is a river, is the title of today's message. There is a river. And I was reminded of a song years ago called There Is a River. How many remember that? And it goes something like this. There is a river, and it flows from deep within. There is a fountain that frees my soul from sin. You got to come to this water, for there is a vast supply. Drink from the fountain that never shall run dry. There is a river, hallelujah, that refreshes the soul. Hallelujah. And guys, sometimes we do not take advantage of the opportunity that God has afforded us to come and to drink to the place where there's no longer any fear, there's no longer any worry, there's no longer any shame. Everything is life and peace in him. The Lord is our life. He is the fountain of living waters. So not everything we need is here on earth. So earthly-minded people are just going to focus on the natural things, looking for temporary fulfillment and satisfaction in the world, you know, the things the world offers. But there are certain things that we need that can only come from the presence of the Lord. And in Psalms 46 and verse 4, it says, there is a river whose streams shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle or dwelling of the Most High. So God himself is the river whose streams make glad the city of God. Now, if you think about it, Jerusalem actually has no river. So he's not talking about a literal river in Jerusalem, at least not at this point. There's a very good possibility, according to prophecy, that there will be immense fountains that will come up from the Temple Mount area. And once again, there will be a river. But right now, you and I have the privilege of accessing the very throne of our Father, amen, and come to the waters, who is Jesus, amen, and he's the one that will sustain and refresh us. And I believe a lot of times we're living below our potential. We're not, you know, taking advantage again of the opportunity we have to come to the Father, amen, through Jesus the Son, and receive everything we have need of. So Jesus is that fountain of life, and he is refreshment. And when we gather, if we're willing to really open our hearts and seek the Lord, And if you will get beyond the outer court to go into the deep place with him, you'll find a place of refuge there. Amen. And that's what the Lord wants. He wants his people to be refreshed. He wants us to be joyful. He wants us to be fulfilled. He wants his people to be satisfied. And only he can satisfy you. And he wants us to learn that, because we can often get caught up in pursuing the earthly things. And God's not against having nice things, guys, but sometimes those nice things become idols in our lives. They take the place of God. And the Apostle John saw this beautiful city. He saw also the river of God. In Revelation 22:1, he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. And water of life means living or running water, like a spring or a fountain. As you know, a pond can become stagnant because there's no movement. There's no air, all right? There's no oxygen supplied to it. And so God's water, the kind of water that he supplies, is living because he is life. In him is life. And in him we live. And we're not going to ever be satisfied if we're pursuing earthly things and putting earthly things before him. We were created for him. We were designed for him. We were created to worship God. Amen. The Father is seeking those who will worship him in spirit and in truth. So we see in Genesis, in the first Eden, there was a river, amen, that watered this garden, this type of paradise. In John's vision, we see Eden recovered. God is going to restore all things, amen. And I don't believe there's going to be a devil there to tempt. We're not going to have to contend with him anymore in the new creation. So God was showing John a glimpse of the future home of the redeemed. And all the blessings and all the happiness of heaven proceeds from God. All the blessings, all the happiness flow from the heart of God. God wants his people to be joyful. He wants us to be satisfied in him. He wants us to be fulfilled in him. Because when a person lives independent of their creator, they are living a dysfunctional life. They're not living according to their divine purpose. Now, we also know that Ezekiel had this great vision, didn't he, of the river of God. In Ezekiel 47:1, it says, he brought me back to the door of the temple, and there was water flowing from under the threshold of the temple toward the east. For the front of the temple faced east. The water was flowing from under the right side of the temple, south of the altar. And he brought me out by the way of the north gate and led me around on the outside to the outer gateway that faces east. And there was water running out on the right side. And it shall be, verse 9, that every living thing that moves, wherever the river goes, will live. Interesting. Living thing, but then where the river is, it will live. How about soul life, new life, spiritual life? There will be a very great multitude of fish because these waters go there. Now, we know that Jesus told his disciples, come follow me and I will make you what? Fishers of men. Okay. It says wherever these waters go, they will be what? Healed. And everything will live wherever the river goes. Everything will live wherever the river goes. We need to come to the water. We need to come to the river of God. We need to come into his presence. Hallelujah. Where we will find life, satisfaction, fulfillment, enjoyment, actually, in him. Hallelujah. Jesus, again, is the fountain of living waters. So whenever people turn away from the Lord, they're turning away from life. And God's grace is just like water. It refreshes, it cleanses. It's the presence of the Lord that revitalizes and supports our spiritual vitality. You know, it's not a thing where you come and you drink once and you're done. Amen. We're supposed to come to the Lord because he is our daily bread. He is the one that satisfies us. So when people quit worshiping the Lord, all right, quit worshiping God, they grow cold in their affections towards Him. Backsliding doesn't happen overnight, does it? That's why they call it sliding. You're just continually sliding away. And often unaware of your true condition until, by the grace of God, He sends either a messenger your way, or He gives you some type of revelation that, hey, where have you gone? Where are you? Look where you're at. Look how far you've drifted. I've used the analogy of a boat on the water. You know, if you've ever done any fishing with an anchor, you know, I've done a little bit of fishing before in my time, and there's times when I didn't put the anchor down, and I'd just be fishing maybe along the reeds or the lily pads, and you know, I'm a very focused person, so when I'm like fishing, I'm like focused, you know, and sometimes I'll like come to and realize that, man, look how far I drifted from where I was, and I didn't even see it happening. I wasn't even aware of it. And that's why we have to be paying attention. Jesus said, be alert, right? Pay attention. Be watchful. Be prayerful. Because if we don't, we can very easily slip away and fall away. And God wants us to be in that place with Him where we are a well-watered garden producing good fruit, so that our lives will be an expression of Him and people will be blessed because of our testimony in this world. You and I are not going to be salty unless we're salted first. Amen? So everything we need is in this river, in this presence of the Lord. Amen? And the wisdom of God, the power of God, the comfort of God, the joy of God, the provision, the protection of God, everything that we have need of is in Him, in He who is the fountain of living waters. And Philippians 4:19, this is a promise to God's people. My God, what shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus? How? By Christ Jesus. Amen. Now, what's man's problem? What is our problem? What was God's issue with ancient Israel? Well, Jeremiah 2:13 said, my people have committed two evils. They have, first of all, what, forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewn themselves cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. Now, cistern is a well. They're digging wells and they're drinking from polluted waters of their own doing, and because they have left the Lord. And how many know that the world will offer you something that seems to be refreshing, and yet it will be poisoning you, and usually slowly, so that you're not aware of the damage until it's too late. Kind of like doing dope, right? It's like a slow poison in many cases. Drinking, alcoholism, same thing. Amen. These are the polluted pools that the enemy wants you to drink from. He wants you to try to satisfy yourself with lesser things rather than the living God who supplies all good things to us. Amen. Who alone can satisfy really the deepest longing of your soul, of your heart. What people are actually looking for is heaven. They're looking for peace. They're looking for comfort. They're looking for hope. Amen. And yet we have been given through the blood and the sacrifice of Jesus access to the throne of grace. Hallelujah. So all that we have need of can be freely received by faith. And we can be satisfied. Hallelujah. In Him. But the enemy wants you to believe that somehow God's not enough. That God won't supply what you need. So you need these lesser things, these inferior things to truly be satisfied. Yes, you need God, but you also need dope. You also need alcohol. You also need these other things. Materialism. Surround yourself with stuff as a form of comforting yourself and feeling somehow secure because I got all this stuff. Come on, somebody. When people quit worshiping God, they'll grow cold in their affections to Him. And they will dig out inferior wells that can hold no water. Because the wells that we dig are incapable of containing spiritual life. So when people lose their spiritual focus, they turn to idols. Automatically, we turn to idols when we lose our focus. And so what happens when we turn to idols? Hear me today. The will of God is no longer important. When we become idolatrous, prayer is no longer important. Gathering for corporate worship is no longer important. Studying and listening to the Word of God is no longer important. Obeying the Lord is no longer important. In other words, there's no true worship of God. When people turn away from the Lord, they turn away from the only source of life, of hope. And the enemy is looking to bait people with inferior things, lesser things, so that he can rob you of what could be yours if you would turn to the Lord with your whole heart. And guys, God wants us to seek him as precious treasure, buried treasure. Amen. These treasure hunters, you know, they go to great lengths, sacrifice even, so that perhaps they may be able to find this hidden treasure and become wealthy for life. Think about the sacrifices people make to search for hidden treasure. How much more should we be seeking out the living God? Amen. Who holds all things together by the word of his power. Who is over all things. Who owns all things. Every soul belongs to him. Amen. He owns the cattle on the thousand hills and he owns the hills too. Why do people turn away from the Lord? Because of these things, these lesser things that the enemy will bait us with. You know, if it wasn't attractive, it wouldn't be a temptation. And sometimes, have you ever never noticed how beautiful liquor bottles look? Well, I think some of those bottles on the outward, they look pretty. They look pretty, don't they? Kind of like the casino all lit up at night, right? It looks pretty. So hopefully it'll attract some moths, right? I don't want to be one of those moths, right? I spent enough time in the sewer. I'm getting out of it. Hallelujah. I'm staying out of it. And I'm coming to the fountain of living waters. I'm drinking from the springs of living water. Amen. Happy now am I. Because only the Lord can satisfy you. Hallelujah. Mark chapter 4, verse 18, Jesus said, "The seed that fell among the thorns represents others who hear God's word, but all too quickly the message is crowded out by the worries of this life, the lure of wealth, and the desire for other things, so no fruit is produced." What? The desire for other things. Other things. What are the other things? Think about it. Are there other things that are crowding out God in our lives? Are there other things that are taking his place? Are there other things that are taking away our affection and our passion? You know, we should have a heart for the Lord. Amen. Because we were designed for him. And guys, I've said this before, but if you are healthy, you'll have an appetite. When a child is healthy, he has an appetite. When he's not feeling well, he loses his appetite. Are you hearing me, somebody? And so a hunger for God is a good thing. Amen. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. They shall be filled. So you know the wells of this world cannot satisfy you. And everything we need is found in God. You know, even the natural creation, everything we see, it all originated from the same God, didn't it? Amen. So all things belong to the Lord. We don't have to be pursuing these things and killing ourselves for stuff. You know, guys, it's important that we provide for our families, take care of business, amen. There's nothing wrong with having a few nice things, but our life is not all about that, is it? That's not the ultimate purpose of your life. Amen. God is preparing a bride, a church, a people, amen, for eternity. And he's going to glean throughout the generations. Those who have been faithful, those who have trusted him, they will be part of that number that makes up his bride. Hallelujah. We are created, we were made for God, created to worship him. And so through worship, I want to shift a little bit here to this is how we access or enter the river of God. Through worship, we enter or access the realm of the Spirit, the realm of the Holy Spirit. So we must worship until we die to ourselves. Now, this is something I want you to hear this. You must worship until you die to yourself. Because there are many things that are trying again to get your attention, to distract you from being focused on the Lord when you come to draw near, to seek. You know, you want to hear from God, you're going to have to take this time and discipline yourself to settle down, get into rest, amen, stay focused, hallelujah, and worship Him. And until all the other distractions disappear around you, until all the other thoughts, amen, fall away, until you're singly minded and you're focused on the Lord, I want to draw near and I want to seek the face of God, not just the hand of God, not just what He will give me, taking care of my stuff, amen, but I want to know the Lord, I want to seek His face because I want to hear His voice, I want to know His voice when He speaks to me. Because His word is life to me. Without the word of God, there is no life. And God wants to take us from the outer court of just the sing-along into a deep place with Him. Amen. And so we have to worship until we die to ourselves, till we get over ourselves, till we get over our insecurities, till we get over our opinions of others and even of ourselves. We got to get into a place where we're not being distracted by what Joe or Sally's doing. There are any Joes and Sally's out here today? You know, we got to get past that place. Amen. So that our worship is pure. Focusing when you communicate with others. I have to be deliberate about this because I struggle sometimes with this. But when people are talking to me, hello, I need to be there. Amen. Wherever you find yourself, be there. All right? Don't let your mind go somewhere. Somebody's talking to you. Pay attention. It's the respectful thing to do. You see, God wants our reverence. Amen? He wants to speak to us, but we cannot be disrespectful by not paying attention and not listening when He's trying to talk to us. Have you ever had anybody, when you were talking to them, just kind of halfway through what you were saying, turn around and walk away? Well, I used to do that to people, not intentional, but because I wouldn't discipline myself to pay attention. Maybe I'm still doing that. I hope not. But I got to focus. I need to stay focused, amen, when I communicate, because true communication is not just doing all the talking. Can you hear me? It's about listening. We need to be quick to listen and slow to speak. And so when it comes to our relationships, we need to be listeners. Amen. And we need to study to answer. So we're giving an educated answer because the Holy Spirit is the one that's helping us to answer correctly. Are you hearing me? So when people talk to us, we should be saying, Lord, help me to, give me the words that I need to speak here. Give me the understanding of what needs to be addressed here. Amen. And the same thing, guys, with our relationship with the Lord. I'm good at coming to God and asking for stuff all the time because God knows that we need things. Amen. We need help. And I pray for you. Amen. Thank you for praying for me too. You fast and pray for me, right? Yeah. But we need to pray for each other. Amen. But we need to be paying attention to what God wants to say to us. Sometimes when I prepare a message, guys, it's a struggle initially. Anybody that's ever taught a class or preached it can be a struggle sometimes. It doesn't always just come like that. What you need to do is you need to worship beyond yourself. You need to get past yourself. Because in our own soul, there's sometimes a lot of noise and a lot of distractions. And we're easily swayed by even external things around us. The phone rings. I always get a text when I get ready to pray, Or a call or something. Because we have to have discipline in this. And when we come, guys, we will receive from God what we're willing to put into it. We're going to receive from God what we have sown in the Spirit. So if we are going to come and worship God, let's do it with full abandon. Let's do it with all of our heart, with all of our mind. Amen. We got to, again, worship past the understanding part of us that's going to, amen, interfere sometimes and get in the way. so that we get into a place of rest. And I've discovered when I get into that place where there's the peace of God, amen, that's ruling and reigning in my heart, my mind, that's when I'm able to hear God. Because in the outer court, there's a lot of voices speaking. Is that me? Is that the Lord? Is that the devil? Are you hearing me, somebody? God wants us to go deeper in worship. And he wants us, even when we come corporately, amen, if we were corporately, just pour our hearts out to God, amen, as we're seeding the cloud, hallelujah, eventually there's going to be a cloud burst, amen, and we're going to have just a greater weight of glory come down, and hearts are changed, lives are transformed, amen, people are healed, people are delivered in Jesus' name, hallelujah. You and I, when we worship Jesus, we're sowing in the Holy Spirit. Galatians 6 and 7 says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Verse 9, let us what? Not grow weary while doing good. You know this one by heart. Say it with me. For in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. All right. Due season means whatever is due you must come to you. Whatever is due you must come to you. Whatever you've been sowing, eventually you will reap. Hallelujah. And so the enemy wants you to quit sowing. The enemy wants you just to have a shallow time and maybe an outer court experience. And I came to church today and I got a few goosebumps. Wow, that was just amazing. How about an encounter, a life-changing encounter with the living God? Amen. How about coming into your blasted in his glory? Hallelujah. And happy as a lark. Is a lark happy? I guess they are, huh? Somebody said they were. But God wants us to be joyful. And joy is in his presence. In his presence is what? Fullness of joy. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 9, 6. But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also what? Reap sparingly. It's referring to giving. And he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So when we sow in the Spirit, we will reap from the Spirit the very life that comes from the presence of God. Hallelujah. 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 Praise you, Jesus. Let's just praise him. Hallelujah. 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 Lord, we are hungry for you. We are thirsty for you. For you satisfy. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. So as we worship, we're creating an atmosphere that God inhabits. Praise is pleasing to God, but toxic to the devil. Praise is pleasing to God, but toxic to the devil. That's why we need to be people of praise, people of gratitude. Amen. Thanking God, praising God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And praise your way, amen, from the outer court into the inner place, amen, with God, into the holy place, the place where his glory dwells. Hallelujah. I don't want to just be an outer court Christian, amen, that gets a little bit of the overflow. Hallelujah. I want to be at the heart, amen. God wants us to come in deep into his heart, amen, where everything else is secondary. Nothing else compares to that place. I have had such joy in the presence of God. And all the things that I did in the world, all the things that I smoked or drank or whatever in the world, nothing compares to the glory and the presence of God. Hallelujah. And if you haven't tasted and haven't really known there or been there, then you won't understand it. But we're just saying, hey, at least try and taste and see that the Lord is good. Praise is pleasing to the Lord. And since it's toxic to the devil, we need to fumigate our minds with praise. Fumigate your house, your workplace, your church with praises to God. Because God's presence gives us the ability to live above sin. Temptation loses its power when we praise God. And prayer is also worship. We need to worship beyond ourselves. To get into the place where we're at rest and we're able to hear from the Lord. And guys, if we are corporately united and unity, amen, with a singleness of purpose, that we're going to seek the Lord today. And we're going to open ourselves up, amen, for the Lord to use us, to be an expression of Him. God gives people words of knowledge, amen, of wisdom, prophetic utterances, amen, tongues and interpretation. But we've got to praise beyond ourselves till we get into the place, because sometimes we're not really sufficiently there yet and we're stepping out to prophesy. Come on, somebody. When you're not really there yet, not ready yet. And that's why we've got to take the time, amen, to make sure that you're buried in the river of God's presence, amen, so that you're not going to be easily distracted by something else that's maybe rogue that would try to drop in there. You see, when we're in the heart, in the river of the presence of the Lord, it's like now God is taking us. Where before we were trying to struggle our way through the water, now it's like we're just relaxed, we're at peace, and God is taking us. And what will happen is, as Jesus said to them that believe on me, as the scripture said, out of their belly or spirit will flow rivers of living water. Hallelujah. And so this, guys, is not something you can go to college and study and go to seminary and amen, encapsulate from a Bible study. Amen. It comes from the presence of the Lord. You've got to go into the place, amen, where you're drinking deeply from the wells of Yeshua. Amen. The one that can satisfy you, Messiah. Hallelujah. And He's given us that opportunity. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we have to be reminded, guys, that there's more. And that's what we need, is more. Well, I believe I got baptized. I got the Holy Ghost. I got all. No, you need God. You need to come to the river again. My word. All shriveled up fruit on there. You need some freshness in your life. Let God breathe into you again. Hallelujah. Isaiah 40 and verse 31. But those who wait on. That means expect or look patiently or tarry. Those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. You know this. They shall mount up with, what? With wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. So as we worship the Lord in spirit, as we pursue Him, as we discipline ourselves to seek the face of God, to draw near, amen, then there was an atmosphere of heaven in us, in our hearts. God inhabits the place where He's welcomed, where He's desired. He'll show up. You see, we got to get rid of the stuff and the idols and the other things that would try to take His place in our lives so that we will have a hunger and a thirst for Him. Come on. Am I yelling? I'm just passionate today. Psalms 22:3, here it is. But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. And that word inhabits, Barb, you know this one. It means to sit down, to dwell, remain, or settle. God settles in the place. He remains in the place where there is praise. Amen? An atmosphere of praise to God. Hallelujah. So it's a deliberate thing, guys. There's a psalm that says, we bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. Amen. So it becomes a delight, but sometimes initially it's going to take some discipline and a very deliberate action on our part. How many always feel like going to prayer? Maybe some of you do, but I don't always feel like praying because I have other things I'd rather do right now, but I have to tell myself what to do because God gives us the ability to do that, doesn't He? It's called self-control. Isn't it interesting that we can talk to ourselves and not be crazy? You can talk to yourself and say, self, you're going to get up out of bed and you're going to go pray. You're going to go seek the Lord, whatever. You got to tell yourself what to do and quit letting that other part of you tell you what to do. You got to let the adult be in charge. Amen. What's the Spirit telling you to do? We're going to partner with the Holy Spirit. Amen. And do what He's telling us to do and take charge of ourselves because He's given us that ability. And so when we come, we're going to say, you know what? I'm here to seek the Lord today. Amen? And I'm going to seek until I find. I'm going to knock until the door is opened. Well, I asked, nothing happened. I placed my order through the window, and man, they're pretty slow. You know, we live in that society of instant gratification. So we have to be disciplined in this, because our minds, without realizing it, can often be, really controlled by all the media and all the, you know, the technology and the quick this and the quick that and the tweets and the, you know, instant gratification thing, to where, you know, it's so hard, especially among young people. And now it's becoming, the younger people are becoming the older people that grew up with the technology, you know. It's where they can't focus. I talked about this a few weeks ago. They can't stay focused long enough to get a full teaching. You got to constantly do stuff. You have to have interruptions every 5 minutes, a commercial break. Amen? Because they can just squirrel, right? Guys, I know it takes, even for me, it's because I spend a lot of time, you know, on my computer. I do a lot of research on my computer. I do a lot of, as you know, texting. And there's a lot of quick things that go on there. But we have to be careful that we don't allow ourselves to become lazy-minded. The Bible says to study to show yourself approved. That takes discipline to study the Word. Yeah. So keep faithfully sowing. This is my encouragement to you today. In the Holy Spirit. Keep faithfully sowing. Know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Know that eventually what you sow, you're going to reap. And there are times of refreshing, according to Acts 3:19. In those who have been faithful to sow, even in the dry seasons, but they continued to sow, they continued to pray, they continued to be faithful. Amen. Well, the time is coming when that which you have invested, that which you have put into it, is going to come back to you. Hallelujah. You see, he who will water others will himself be watered. As we're being faithful stewards over what God has given to us, amen, God will take care of us and our needs in that. Hallelujah. Nothing leaves heaven until something leaves earth first. Think about it. That's what prayer is all about. That's why we must pray. That's why Jesus prayed. He taught us to pray. Amen. And to pray faithfully, consistently. Amen. And don't give up. Don't lose heart when you're praying. Keep on pressing in. Keep on believing. Amen. I prayed for years for people until the day came when they came to Jesus. Paul, he's been faithful. He's been contending for his healing. He's been asking God, believing God. We've been praying. We've been, amen, pressing in. And God has healed him. Hallelujah. Because I tell you what, man, when you had that nose looking like it was and that eye patch, I was like, man, you're looking pretty rough there, brother. But God in his mercy, right? God in his mercy. Hallelujah. And it's not the first time. This guy knows how to believe God for things. You know, like, and it's really being consistent, being persistent. Knocking. Keep on knocking till the door's open. Nothing leaves heaven until something leaves earth first. Guys, I would love to see a greater level of glory in this house when we're coming. You know? It's coming. It's coming. Amen? Amen? But just keep on pressing in. Keep on praying. Keep on asking. Knocking. And people need the Lord. We need the Lord. The church needs the Lord. Amen? We need to wake up. And only God can do that. We're not talking about hype. Amen? We're not talking about a programmed church service. We want God to show up. Amen? We want God to be in charge here. Hallelujah. God delights in obedience. He delights in thanksgiving. He delights in praise and prayer and intercessions. This is acceptable worship to the Lord. Hallelujah. Remember when Solomon had dedicated the temple. Amen. They had given many sacrifices. And as they begin to sing in 2 Chronicles 5:13, it came to pass when the trumpeters and the singers were as one, here they are, well, in one accord, to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. And when they lifted up their voice and the trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music and lifted up what and praised the Lord, saying, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. That the house of the Lord was filled with a cloud. That's the glory, the Shekinah glory of God. So that the priest could not continue ministering because of the cloud. For the glory of the Lord filled the house of God. Wouldn't that be amazing? Hallelujah. We've had some wonderful times of refreshing, even since we've been here. Amen. But guys, don't take it for granted. Amen. And don't quit sowing. Because what happens is God does something, amen, and then we quit. We say, well, we're going to just ride it out from here on out, amen. And what happens is there becomes these gaps or these delays because we quit daily praying, daily asking, amen. God wants the sower to overcome the reaper the sower, amen. So what you've sown back then will come to pass now. But if you faithfully every day you keep sowing in the Holy Spirit, amen, when it begins to rain, it will pour, hallelujah, and it will continue to rain. Why? Because you've been faithful to sow in the Holy Spirit, and eventually there's going to be a cloud burst, hallelujah, and I want God to rain, hallelujah, to the point where people are just totally taken over by the glory of God, to their hearts are convicted by the Holy Spirit, where they're broken, amen, and they're weeping before the Lord, and they're repenting of their sins, amen, and the demons are screaming as they come out because they can't stand the glory of God. Are you hearing me, somebody? We need to get back to that place. Hallelujah. God, you're so good. Lord, we want you. We need you. We want more. Take us in. Worship brings us into the throne of God. The river of God flows out from his heart. Hallelujah. It's in the realm of the Holy Spirit where we're capable of discerning what is of God, what's been sent from God. As we worship, guys, and we go deeper, you'll be able to discern what God is doing, what God is saying, what God is showing you. And you'll know what's of God and what's not of God. You'll have discernment in that place as you worship and go deep into God. Amen. Hallelujah. So there's no part darkness. We love you, Jesus. Lord, we want our temples completely filled with every bit of you, God. We just want you to fill us, Lord. Hallelujah. Are you hungry today? Has God stirred something up within you today? Would you raise your hands to him and say, Lord, I want you. Lord, I need you. Lord, I don't want any idols in my life. Lord, I repent. Forgive me for any idols in my life, Lord. God, I ask you to make me hungry. Make me thirsty again, Lord. Salt me, Lord. God, do a work in my heart right now, God. Deliver me from the evil one. Lord, root out of me anything, God, that's in me that defiles anything in me, God, that would hinder me, Lord, in my walk. Take it away, Jesus. Lord, I cast all my worries and all my cares upon you, Lord. God, I forgive you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Even though you don't need to be forgiven, Lord God, but I ask you, Lord, to forgive me for accusing you falsely, Lord God, of not being good. Today, Lord, we come to you and we ask you to renew us, to revive us, to stir us once again, Lord God. Give us holy passion, Lord Jesus. Stir up the gift of God within us. Holy Spirit, we welcome you. Holy Spirit, we look to you right now. God, we say, have your way in me. Burn in me, Holy One. Let the fire of the Holy One burn in me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's just sow right now in the realm of the Spirit. Hallelujah. Come with offerings of thanksgiving, of gratitude, of praise. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Lord, we want more. We want more of you. Lord, we need more of you. More of you and less of us. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Lord, we repent. Lord, forgive us for our lukewarmness. Lord, give us oil in our lamps. Fill us, Lord, again. Fill our hearts with your love, Lord. Lord, may our souls be rekindled with fire from above. Let your fire fall, Lord, right now. Burn in us, God. Reignite the flame in every heart today, Lord God. Deliver every captive.